You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me as always, the Stein to my mug, my dear friend Andy.
Hey-o.
Andy, it's good to be back with you. I'm really excited about tonight's show. It's going to be a big one. I don't want to overhype it, and I don't want to make our guests, I don't want to put the pressure on them too prematurely, but this is going to be like a really good show, you guys. I'm just letting you know, getting that out there early and often.
Take off your pants now.
Andy, I need to tell you, I want to also introduce our silent partner, Nate. He's with us making the sound happen. I had a little puking episode last week. Just wanted to, like, a legitimate sickness. Not from being black and drunk as usual. Not a case of Lupa puke this time. Just a normal, an illness. Have you, like, when's the last time you got, like, puking sick? Like a flu type kind of sickness?
Right around Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got the pukes. I told this story in the show. I threw up so hard that from a standing. Oh. I didn't even have time to get down into my...
It was too fast for you to even crouch.
Yeah, it was just... It happened.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
It was over, but I felt better about it afterwards. But being sick and puking is horrible.
Right, it's way worse than having that single one-off episode of, like, getting too drunk or something like that.
Your body's just rejecting whatever you put in it to make you survive a little bit longer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was deep in my bones. And it was a day of it. But I went to the doctor, no flu, I'm all set to go and ready to do an episode. Our guest this week, really, really excited to have, from the Portland band Divers, Colby, Harrison, and Seth are joining us. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Oh, thanks for
Welcome
having
to
us.
Hot Garbage.
Thank you for having us.
We've been really looking forward to this for a long time.
We introduce people like this, and I feel like we need to get a name to a voice.
Okay.
So, can you guys go through and introduce yourselves?
I'm Seth.
I am Harrison.
I'm Colby.
All right.
Can we change our voices periodically?
Yeah. You can constantly change your voices to throw the listeners off. But I always listen back to the podcast, and I'm always like, man,
who's who?
They all just say hi, and I have no idea. I feel like the listeners at home aren't sure of who's who. So.
And it's not fair of me as a host, but I sort of view my guests as interchangeable pieces. That's the problem.
Can you go back afterwards and like pitch shift our voices so that, you know, Colby's always in a
We've
real
done
low
it before.
Register? Yeah.
We had a graffiti artist on the show who asked that we modulate his voice. So we did do that. We can also cut up your words and put them in different orders if you want. So just keep that in the back of your mind. But thank you guys again for being on the show. Really love it that you're here. You guys are releasing a 7-inch shortly. Tell us about that.
It's just two songs. We're going to Japan at the end of April, and we need to record some songs for a record there.
And you guys are going to Japan.
We are excited.
Awesome. How long are you going to be in Japan?
Is it 2 weeks?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
We've got some friends over there, and one of them books tours and puts out records. So we're just kind of lucked into it, really.
Have you guys done Europe or any other places? Is this your first out of the country? That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about the band. I mean, you guys, how long have you guys been together, and how did you get started?
Been 5 years now, I think. Or maybe we've just been saying that for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's been about, I think it's 6 years in the summer.
Yeah. So the three of us have been playing music together in some form for probably closer to 15 years.
Oh.
Various combinations. But James, who isn't here, James and I actually kind of got the conversation going with like starting Divers. And it was just sort of a fluke. So, you know, we're sitting around a fire in somebody's backyard drinking beer, and it was like, all right, let's do this. Let's play some music. There was like a show at a house that they needed a band to open, and it was like a month away. So we're like, cool, let's just get together and cram and like write some songs and play. And then, you know, these guys got involved, and it's basically just kept doing it, you know.
So I find that, like, because you're talking about keeping track of the years that you guys have been together, and, like, music years tend to blur together. If you've been in a band for, like, 5 years, it feels like you just got started almost. Do you remember, like how long was it before you felt like you had hit your stride and you kind of understood what you were going for and had an idea that was a clear picture of what you'd like this band to be?
Still waiting.
I don't think I've hit it yet.
Anytime now.
Anytime now. Expect it. What's the average answer to that question?
It's kind of a version of a question that I ask like in 10 different ways. I don't. There's no set timeline. This is the first data point we have.
How are we doing, score wise?
Yeah, you guys are like on a plus three so far, and that's really good. Almost never happens.
So what kind of music were you guys playing separately when you were sitting around this campfire talking about starting Divers? Like, what kind of influences were coming into the creation of Divers? Or were you going for a specific sound straight out of the gate?
Definitely not a specific sound. In fact, my intention at least, I don't know if James and I really talked about this, but like we definitely had a lot of like common musical interests. But so that was a starting point, and that was like, you know, kind of like the national pop punk scene, I guess, or whatever. A lot of southern, like region rock bands like ADDC, Queer Wolf, you know. But then, you know, I guess the idea was to kind of like try to mix things up somehow. To kind of not know what we were doing and just like try to add in some different things. So it was a lot of experimenting. Early on, we wrote probably like 30 songs and then just like cycled through them, threw most of them away, which is still kind of what we do. Like, awesome. We throw away definitely most of the stuff we write.
Did you guys come from kind of punk rock backgrounds?
Yeah.
Because that's what I kind of feel like. It's like punk rock.
Yeah.
That has grown up into something different. I don't know.
We see ourselves as a punk band.
Yeah, definitely. I see those influences too. That's awesome.
So did any of you say you have a favorite band? Like, if you could just like think back across time in the aggregate, is there one band that you would say is your favorite?
I feel like every time I get asked what my favorite band is, I like have like three or four bands that I reply with, and they're not even like current.
Oh yeah, I think the favorite band is the one that, for me, a favorite band is kind of a category of band that is the go-to for that answer, even if it's something you never listen to anymore, even though, when I was growing up, I've said this before.
Kelly Clarkson.
No, 311 was my favorite band. They were like the answer to that question for me for a very long time.
I was talking to somebody about 311 the other day. That song, they had the really popular one. What was it?
Down.
And then they had, didn't they do a Cure cover?
They did,
yeah. Was it Love Song or something?
Yes, it was Love Song.
And then they had one more radio song.
They had a song called All Mixed Up.
That's the one I really liked.
I hated 311 because of those songs. But then I listened to their albums and they had all these dub reggae tracks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, now I love this band. They're like in that same world of Sublime where they're like, oh, they also like reggae. And then I just found out about those reggae bands and kind of left them behind.
And like Sublime, like I like the melodies. I love the melodies of 311. But if you listen to any of those albums now, it's corny as shit. So they're still like the answer to my favorite band question, but they don't even rank anymore in terms of anything I listen to. Do you guys have a band like that? Maybe it's a band you're embarrassed about, but maybe it's a band you still like.
Fugazi has always been.
Fugazi, that's a good one.
Yeah.
They have a pretty stellar catalog, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid all the way through.
Yeah. Really can't go wrong.
Yeah, same. That was a huge one. That was like one of the first tapes I ever got as far as like something that was like punk or like something I felt like I'd found that was like a treasure somehow or whatever, you know.
But how old were you when you came across that record?
I think I came across them when I was like maybe 14.
Mm-hmm.
And which Fugazi albums did you guys hear first? Because that's...
That self-titled like EP,
nice.
The
13 songs.
The first thing, it was just the half of that.
Okay.
It was on tape.
That's the first one I heard too.
Like
Waiting Room was super catchy.
Yeah,
that was like absolutely. My fucking jam.
Colby, with your top four, number one, what are the two of them? Give us two examples of the rotating cast of favorite band.
The two. Well, first off, Electric Light Orchestra. I love that band so much. Like I've purposefully held off listening to all of their records just because I want to enjoy what I know of, like or the albums that I like right now.
You're savoring ELO?
I'm savoring it. I don't, and I love everything off.
Well, it's because it's a finite catalog. Like, you know, it has an end.
I've been playing a lot of ELO for my kids. They love Strange Magic.
Oh yeah. Oh.
But
man.
Even when it ends, there's so much more. Like Jeff Lynne, like his side projects and solo stuff. I mean, I think I have enough to last me a long time.
Yeah.
But I'm like a super fan of ELO. Okay. I feel like some of their music just was written for different moods I'm in and different situations I find myself in. I know it's like kind of weird when you get asked. I mean, I feel this. It's weird when people ask me what my favorite band is, and I'm like, it's ELO.
That's a great answer.
It is a great answer.
That's like, there's
I
no,
think so too.
It's like they're one of the best bands.
But they're
an incredible band.
I think people are expecting something more contemporary and I don't know.
They're really hard to attack too, because you know, even stuck up people aren't like, ELO sucks. You know, there's not a strong feeling. Either you like ELO or you're like, yeah, they're good, they're fine. There's not really a strong anti ELO, so you know. It's a unique outpost you stake for yourself.
And, like, the stuff that I've taken from ELO and, like, kind of rearranged to fit what I do in Divers, I mean, I've just taken so much from them.
So that's interesting, too. I was going to say, so...
We've talked about ELO. Like,
well, we asked you for two bands.
Yeah.
And then I'd also say ABBA. Love ABBA so much. Oh, yeah. I mean, I
totally.
Love...
I want to take
love
back.
Yeah.
I'm
actually,
like
ABBA does
ultra
first.
Super fan of ABBA. And same thing with them. I'm just like, I'll sneak in a new song every like a couple of weeks, but and the crazy thing about them too, same thing with ELO with me, is like I will sneak in new songs every now and then and just get constantly blown away. And so I told somebody that I really like them. I didn't even tell them they were my favorite band. I just told them I really liked ABBA.
Yeah.
And they were like, they're good, but I just can't really take them that serious. And I was like, what? They're extremely
serious.
They're
a band
serious.
That people like to make
you don't
fun
need
of,
to take it
sure.
seriously. Just dance. But yeah. Somebody with a really good ABBA tattoo.
Really?
And it was like
a really good
written
ABBA
in
tattoo.
Kind of a Metallica font. Yeah. And it was so awesome.
Where part of their body was it on?
You know, I don't remember. This is like 15 Necktat. Years ago. I think it was like on an arm or something. You know.
Ooh, okay. You know what? I just thought of one. An ABBA tattoo, but
when it's an ABBA
like,
tattoo,
like
it's a
AC/DC
in that
like,
font
with the
lightning bolt.
Yeah,
ABBA.
My two favorite bands growing up were always Beastie Boys and Slayer. Oh, I got a third one, Misfits. It was like that was my trifecta.
Wow, that's an eclectic mix.
But it was also like late 90s, like Lollapalooza era. You know, it was like the Beastie Boys were inescapable. And I loved rap music, and they did this goofy, funny rap music, and I loved Weird Al. So why wouldn't I listen to the Beastie Boys, you know?
Do you see that new Star Trek trailer?
Yeah, and actually that
they're
was a
reusing
bummer.
Sabotage.
They used Sabotage in that, and I don't feel like modern music has a place in Star Trek. Star
in
Trek
space.
Has to be big.
That is a little strange.
Orchestral fucking... You know, soundtrack music.
And not attached to, like, it's too... It's not cosmic enough.
They used that in the first movie, though. Yeah, not at all. Maybe
it's
intergalactic.
Too specific.
It's too grounded.
Yeah, it's just too much where we're at.
They used that same song in the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek. So they were just doing like a callback, because he's back.
But isn't it too soon to do a callback to that song?
I think so. Yeah,
I think so,
too. I think bad taste.
I think so, too.
Bad move, dudes.
I saw a band last week at the No do a Beastie Boys cover. I can't think of what song it was, but it was this band, Loch Ness Mobsters, and they're like a garage band from Louisiana, and just straight up garage, like really cool and well done. And then towards the end of the set, they just busted out a Beastie Boys song and like killed it. Like it was insane. I was like, what is going on? This is so crazy. It was awesome.
One of my favorite memories of listening to 311 is sitting in my brother.
Many memories.
My brother, he was much older than me, sitting in his apartment playing Sega Saturn.
Sega Saturn, the only one in existence.
Playing Tomb Raider. First time ever playing Tomb Raider, and he was playing 311.
that is a time capsule right there. That memory is could only happen for about 2 weeks in all of human history.
And it seemed long, but it was actually 2 weeks.
Right.
And with all the like brain vessels that I'm constantly burning off, that one's just that still like 20 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a, like that's a sentence that you could say to someone that only a handful of human beings still alive would even understand at all. That Sega Saturn 311 Venn diagram is such a sliver of overlap that you really dialed it in. Well, we better play some music before we get too far, because I got some other questions, but let's hear something. Is there a favorite song of yours from your Divers catalog that you wouldn't mind us playing?
We should play some off the LP.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we had the 7-inch, but we don't have it with us.
Well, tell us a little bit about
Last
the LP.
Dance,
give us a little bit of context.
Last Dance is probably the most like 311 type song.
Perfect. That works.
Thank you.
You're going to love Last Dance.
If you like 311, you'll love Last Dance.
Thank you.
Welcome to Hot Garbage.
So that was Last Dance from your record, Hello, Hello. So you guys, you would call that a punk rock song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So to be sure. So what I was going to ask, usually I ask people to describe their sound. I've kind of moved off that question, Andy. I'm going to let you know. I don't care how people describe their sound anymore. I don't give a shit.
Man, we've really taken you to a new place.
I know. But what I'm curious about, because we were talking about you guys' favorite bands.
We're opening your mind, Drew.
Then you talked about how, you know, you'll write a bunch of songs that'll like that'll just get tossed. And so maybe it's hard to describe your sound, but is there like a game plan for a song? Like, how do you know when it's done? How do you know what gets tossed? What makes it a diver song? Is there a discussion about what a diver song sounds like? Is there a specific idea you guys are getting at?
Do you
No, that's the whole point. That's the thing. It's like trying to discover what it is. And then that's like a lot of, like, we don't know what it is. It's like we're trying to find out what it is, you know?
You
know when it happens. Like, you know when a song is, like, good and, like, or just right for whatever reason.
Is it at all important to you as, like, individual musicians or and as a collective of songwriters to, like, know what to call yourself? Does it matter to you to have words to describe to other people what it's like? Is that even relevant at all to the songwriting process? Because I think for me, it is a little bit. Like, it helps me, like, it's kind of a, you know, Rosetta Stone for kind of the ideas that I have going forward.
A really expensive program you never use?
Right. Yeah. Right. And I have about as much control over it as I do Command of Portuguese from purchasing that. But no, but like that's, for me, it's kind of a guiding principle as a songwriter. Is that at all important to you to have an understanding that you can articulate?
I think it's helpful for people, and they like, I think people like that. Like, they obviously, that's something that we're used to. We're used to descriptions that are, like, clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's helpful when bands do describe themselves that way. But even so, I don't think that that hasn't been important to us.
Okay.
We've just hoped that the music would, like, speak for itself. Like, I'd say that it was almost like we've been trying to do the opposite of that, but maybe sometimes to our own detriment, you know?
So what is, like, a feature of one of these songs that isn't good enough? Like, what makes it a toss-out when you guys are going through and writing a bunch of stuff?
I mean, it's all just feeling, I think.
Yeah?
You just kind of know.
Do you sometimes kind of, like, cannibalize those little bits and steal some pieces and recombine?
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
The best parts of something will always, like, come back, you know? It'll persist somewhere in your mind, and you'll figure it out.
We keep a vault.
The diver's vault.
Are you guys pretty? Is it a collaborative songwriting process, or how does it usually come together?
It's collaborative.
Do you guys do a little jamming first, and then just kind of noodle on something for a bit?
There's a lot of jamming.
Absolutely no noodles. They don't fuck with noodles.
A lot of jamming. We're like a hippie band. Yeah. That's actually not a joke. We get together and jam a lot. I do like write songs and bring songs in. But, like, I don't think that it's rare that any of our finished songs would sound anything like what I, like, brought in by myself, you know?
Cool. So you bring something in, do you play it, and you just play it, like, an acoustic or something like that? Or how do you present it to the group?
It's been different ways. We've done that.
Mostly chiptune?
What's that?
Mostly, like, chiptuned 8-bit program.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's like a.
Maybe we should try it out.
That's like a Nintendo.
The music from Nintendo.
Sega.
Games.
Okay.
Music.
We're actually just getting into that.
Yeah.
Nice. Sort of.
We're incorporating it.
We are. Yeah. I mean, so it's like, yeah, it varies. Like, I think starting at a different point, like starting at a different place with where you present it, is like a good thing. Like, not always doing it the same way. We've definitely played acoustically, like in the backyard. Get together and play like really quietly electrically. We get together and play loud. Like, we try to like change the perspective of like how you're looking at it or how we're looking at it, you know, so we can see something different in the song or whatever, approach it from a different angle.
Who are some of your favorite Portland artists
right now? I am in love with this band called Wave Action. I think they're so good, and I don't know, I don't think they've been around very long, like maybe a little over a year. I don't think a lot of people know about them. I could be wrong, but like, they're incredible. ¶¶
So that was Dreams by Wave Action, Portland's own Wave Action. I can't believe that I have never heard of that band before. They were like a...
Everybody needs to know who that band
like
is.
Like a dark surf punk kind of sound on that track. I dug that.
It like reminds me of Wiper's Rome Romeo. Like, you know what I'm talking about? It's got that kind of vibe to it, and a lot of their stuff does. And it's so cool. And I don't know anybody who like takes that specific angle in town around like now. It's really good.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And that was Wave Action. Andy, you said you wanted to play a game.
Should we do License Plate Detective?
I think we should. We've been on a hot streak. So License Plate Detective, just to let you guys know, Andy will occasionally spy what is clearly a vanity plate, but is indecipherable as to what the meaning of that vanity plate is. So he will always record them. So these are all real license plates that Andy's seen. And we just try to figure out what the person might have been going for with that ridiculous vanity plate. are you going to tell him about the one you spotted? The huge license plate detective win?
I had my ultimate holy grail the other day, guys.
You should
tell this story. I pulled up behind a black Mercedes with the license plate RMJB.
Is there any way it's not rim job?
It's got to be rim job.
It's only rim job.
Is it Rob Jam?
No, there isn't.
Did you see the rims on their car?
Oh,
that's the question. That's the only way to
question.
Like. That's the only way to solve this.
I noticed that they had normal rims.
But
like,
isn't that? Let's say they had like glistening 20s. Wouldn't it be douchier then to have rim job be your license plate than if you're just talking about having someone lick your asshole? Because I think if you've got rims and your license plate says rim job, then you're a huge douchebag. But if you're just a rim job enthusiast,
on a car,
then you're
that's
like...
That's why I'm like, you know, I don't know.
Maybe they're
sure.
Like...
No, I know. I totally understand.
Yeah. That person is really high up in like the Captain Morgan's empire and they have a rum job. And that's just a joke. Like, haha, I've got a rum job. Give me a rum job. And they all like... joke around that about that at the office, and they all go like Captain Morgan's, and they put their knee up and point.
They go to the tiki bar all the time. And
that would be incredible if that was the
They have open story. Tabs at the tiki bar.
If it was really rum job, because he has a job with Captain Morgan, that would be amazing.
That could fit. Let's see, what else we got here? Oh, this one's interesting. UT.
UT. So, I think it's probably University of Texas.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it's a DJ.
Hook 'em horns.
Or like a big time raver who's just into like.
Oh, I actually like that. I think that's good.
That's fantastic.
When I saw that, I was like, good. Oh, that guy's like a German techno fan. Oot, oot, oot.
What kind of car was this?
It was like a white Expedition.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
White Expedition, a German techno fan who's into white Expedition. This sounds very. Yeah, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Some scary stuff.
Oot, oot, oot.
It had white leather interior, too. That was the weirdest part.
Well, this one was interesting. Seabar. S-E-A-B-A-R.
Wait, say that again.
S-E-A-B-A-R.
Yeah, B-A-R.
So like the sea, like ocean, like an ocean bar. So it's like a sandbar?
Why would you put that in your fucking car?
Yeah.
Are you really into sandbars?
What kind of car was it?
That one was just like a Ford Camry. An old F.
What was the color?
I don't remember.
Was it salmon, maybe? Salmon
I hope color? It was salmon. Oh, wouldn't that be so fitting if it was like ocean blue?
Aqua?
What the fuck is sea
what
bar?
What if a sea bar was... So I pictured that in a... Picture like a coastal town in Oregon. And there's a house you could rent that also has a rental car.
Maybe they were driving
the
around.
The vanity plate at the Sea Bar Inn is, it's like Sea Bar 1, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, they came into town to get supplies.
Totally.
To get back out
of
the
this poor person was wandering around in Portland for some reason, away from their bar, maybe trying to get some supplies.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I saw one today that I was...
In their aqua about. Car. Sorry,
in
go
their,
ahead.
No, no, no. No. I saw one today that was like B... space MPT.
B space MPT?
Yeah.
B empty?
That was my, that was mine. Was and then it just seemed
just
kind of
nihilist.
Funny.
I'm just so
that's what my, the I person I was nothing. With was like, that's so negative. And I was like, I thought it was like some weird Zen thing. But then I also thought that was funny that they put that on their like $30,000 car. I don't know.
I thought it was like maybe like an athlete thing, like, you know, stay hungry, kind of be empty, like always pursuing more. Maybe it's like a marketing thing.
I wish that was like a basketball player's name. It was like Branford Empty. He's just a dope player. I'm really into Be Empty.
Be so Empty is like, a pretty I'm good, empty. Pretty and good hip hop name too, though. That could be a pretty good rap name.
Be Empty.
Be Empty.
Oh,
yeah, you can rhyme heard, that with all kinds
just now,
of things.
The way you said it. Yeah.
Yeah. You got another one for us, Andy?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw one today. FNGM4N.
FNGM4N.
So Fang Man. This dude's really into vampires. Like, he's a fang banger. Is that what this is?
I think so.
I don't know. No. It was pretty obvious he was a vampire dude.
Wait, did you say the number 4 was in this license plate?
Yeah, 4 is like an A, right?
No, I don't think so.
Oh,
I think it's like the man. Word 4. So I'm trying to think Fang
Man for
M
Ninja?
For
Fang Man for N.
I wish I had a visual.
Ninja or...
Yeah, I know. We need like flashcards of these because it's important to see it. You know.
All right. That one wasn't great. How about this?
You need a cam on the front of your car.
A live broadcast.
We do. Sometimes I take pictures, but it's dangerous as fuck because I'm driving.
That's why I say cam, a live cam, a live frontal cam,
a dashboard cam,
a van cam, van being vanity.
All right, this is your last one, Andy. A van cam.
The vanity camera.
And then you can have a vanity plate that doesn't make any sense.
I mean,
it says van cam.
It's almost redundant, but, you know.
It's to the point.
Oh, that was an amazing inversion of this game. Really turned the mirror back on us.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, what's this last one?
K-Leans. Have I done that one before?
No.
K-Leans.
Like K-L-E-A-N-S?
Uh-huh.
K with a space in between?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe it's like killer. Man, that guy's got killer leans. You ever see that dude lean? We really get into it.
That is a K-Lean.
That's K-Lean. Woo!
Oh, no, I got it. It's the person's name, K-Lean.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be a really good way to spell K-Lean with less letters.
Love it.
Good shot.
Beautiful.
Clean. Spelled just like it sounds.
Maybe it's Mr. Clean, and it's just spelled out like...
Wait, what was the first part now?
I think letter K, space, Leans. There's an S at the end.
K-Leans. I think you're probably right, Colby. I think that's it.
How many more do you got?
175.
All right, well, how many more are we doing?
That was the last one.
I think that was the last one.
Can I tell you guys... about a live experience I had.
Yeah. I would love to hear about
please
it.
Please tell us about your live experience.
Tailspin.
I've always considered it like a visual or like a life anomaly, but I was in the car with my friend. They were driving. We pulled up. It was actually the intersection of Fremont and MLK, northbound. And... the license plate that we pulled up right behind was the three initials of my friend driving and the numeral day and numeral month that they were born.
Oh, weird.
Is that an anomaly?
Stalker. Oh, man. Maybe that was a guardian.
It could have
angel.
Just said stalker. Also, S-T-L-K-R.
It was either a stalker.
Stalker.
Or that was Michael
Bannon. What kind of car was that?
Or
was,
your stalker.
Was it like a silver
Corvette?
I bypassed the car altogether, and the license plate was what really just
did you
shined
happen
through.
To get a look at the driver? Was it like a future version of the person you were
I think
with?
We turned right there.
Mm. Oh, fuck. That might have been a time traveler.
That was time travel.
Yeah. We got behind them.
They were trying to communicate with you without breaking the space-time continuum.
Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty crazy.
That's very coincidental.
This was your friend that this was describing? It was his initials and the date?
That's right.
Was he just unnerved, totally freaked out?
No, we were just both like...
Just immediately crash into the guardrail?
I wouldn't say freaked out, but we were both really, I guess, like excited by it.
Oh, you were
chills
excited.
Down the spine.
Yeah. You know, you see something like that, you kind of freak out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you lose your shit.
Yeah. Lost all of it. All the shit.
In fact, there's a podcast that we're going to go be a part of in the desert outside of Vegas. Where they didn't invite us because we're a band. They invite us because of the story that Colby has.
We'll be talking about that. About 30
again.
Miles.
Yeah.
That's Well, Andy, why don't you share some music that you've been listening to this week?
Oh, man. I've been really digging this song. This is by a band from Louisiana called Buck Biloxi and the Fucks.
Hmm.
It's a song called I Look Like Crap.
Was Game Boy Advance the one that was 3D?
Game Boy Advance.
3DS.
Game Boy Advance was the one that had the clamp. It was like a clamshell.
Oh, yeah.
And it was color. And
gotcha.
It was,
and it also
nice.
Had the backlight.
Yeah, it had a backlight.
I was thinking original. Of the Virtual Boy. Do you remember that console?
Yeah,
that
totally.
Weird.
That cool red virtual reality thing that gave you a headache?
Yeah. It has Mario World on or something? That's what I thought. I thought maybe, Andy, you had one of those, a Virtual Boy in this garage.
My cousin had one, and I played it a little bit. It was cool.
Do you know what you played?
One of the games that came with it where you were like shooting at things in like a forward motion.
All right.
Was it that Aerosmith shooter?
No.
Did you guys ever play that? Be the Revolution?
I definitely played it in the arcade.
Where you shoot Aerosmith CDs at, I don't know, aliens, I think, maybe?
Yeah, I don't think that one was released for the Virtual Boy, though.
No, I don't think
how many bands have video games?
That came out Sega CD, specifically, I think.
Yeah, video games. Or even pinball machines count, because there's AC/DC has one.
Sure.
Rolling Stones have one.
Yeah.
Metallica's got a pinball machine.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of the newer ones. It's pretty good. Nate racked up a crazy score the other day. We were all like, oh, we did okay. And then Nate just kept playing and kept winning games.
Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a pinball machine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the video game.
You know what? Yeah. Really good. Should have one.
Who?
ELO
video game?
They should have one. Yeah, hey, they could have a really good one.
Yeah. And they have all kinds of spacey type. They have
themes.
So much.
They're stories.
Yeah, they have so much material to work with.
They could be
if you're building a video game around them.
Yeah.
Would it be a video game or a pinball machine for ELO?
I'm thinking video games a better format for ELO.
Yeah, ABBA's really more of the pinball machine group. I think that would be a good. They would make for a good pinball machine.
Oh,
that would
be a good pinball.
I'd play. I mean, this is a little bit of a stretch, but Hulk Hogan was a musical. I had a CD.
Is the word you're looking for?
His record. And WWF for
you can say musician
for regular Nintendo. I mean, that was a game. I know there's more, and I feel like I should be able to recount them right away, but I'm just
this
really
this is way more than I thought they would be. I stopped pretty hard at the Aerosmith arcade game.
All of these. Yeah, this is great. I know there's more, though. Shaq. There was the Shaq game.
Yeah, Shaq Fu.
Mm-hmm. He counts as a, we're counting him as a musician.
Oh, there's also a David.
The Fushnikins and shit.
I know.
First
I know
and
he's
foremost,
done some musical things.
This is
he also played basketball.
Concurrent with his music.
A lesser
career.
Known fact about that guy.
Yeah. Maybe like sixth greatest player of all time.
Yeah,
Shaquille O'Neal.
This one's a little on the underground, but there's a Charles Barkley RPG game.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I. You know what?
In which you're like,
I'll
work in commercials all the time, like Grey Poupon. Like you just like go from like commercial set to commercial set.
I thought you were kidding. No, you're serious.
I'll look it up. I'll look it up here in a second, and I'll recount the whole, or I'll tell you the whole name of it. It's a great title, but it's a video game.
Charles Barkley swallows seven cocks.
Oh, but wait, he wasn't a musician. I'm
Oh, did Charles getting,
we crossed over into basketball players being in video games.
Charles Barkley wasn't a musician, was he?
No.
Not that I know of. But that
not along the lines of a Shaquille O'Neal, for example.
He's an amateur musician. He's in a funk band.
Yeah.
Man, wouldn't it be sweet if Charles Barkley was in a funk band?
No, but tell me more about this game. Now that I want what system was it for?
Oh, it's just PC. It's a indie game released through Steam.
And this is a real game that existed?
Yeah, it's a real game.
Well, then I guess we just need to encourage Charles Barkley to record an album. Mm-hmm. Because then it becomes true by...
Well, you can be a musician without recording.
This could be
recording.
The genesis of it.
I'm sure he's picked up an instrument before.
Okay. It counts. Like, it qualifies.
He plays the harmonica.
I think he'd be a great lyricist.
He probably
he really
is.
Just kind of says...
He's got a great voice.
Sometimes.
harmonically?
You know, he's got, rhythmically, he's got an intuitive sense for, you know, making sound.
He's just kind of like a human instrument.
Sometimes
kinda
you
like
just
got to
make sound, and that's
it.
Eventually you figure it out.
There's one more that's on the tip of my tongue, but I
feel like
just
David
can't
Bowie
remember it.
Would have? Doesn't he have a pinball machine or something?
He must.
I bet there's a labyrinth pinball machine.
I bet there's a
right.
Oh, okay. But I think Ziggy Stardust first, maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I don't know if that
I
exists,
hope, anyway.
But, I mean, that's low-hanging fruit for somebody.
Low-hanging fruit.
It's an easy video game to make. Did you guys play video games when you were growing up? Were you guys, was that a big part of your life?
It's
variously
still.
It was not a big,
big part of my life.
It dabbled in and out. Kobe, you've got it.
I dabble.
What's your go-to system?
PS3 right now, but PSP. If we're talking current systems, and then older systems, Super NES.
We're gonna be here in a minute.
All the way.
Oh yeah, that's a great
one. Yeah,
but
I still
have my GameCube. That's the one that
love the GameCube.
It's a
totally
solid system.
But I mean, I don't think we should turn this into a gaming podcast.
It's a free flowing conversation. I'm just gonna let things.
I mean, but
let
like,
the
are we trying to like
for,
get a
for
video
your
game?
Guys?
Isn't that our? I thought we were talked about our whole album was a ploy to get a video game.
For your guys' sake,
so, you know, you might as well make it. You know, maybe there's somebody out there who can make it happen.
Sure.
Give us a video game.
I mean, four players.
Yeah.
You know, arcade.
And somebody make a David Bowie.
Yeah, it could
Bowie
be like Turtles
machine.
In Time, where you play all four of you at the same time, and it's a side-scroller, and you're fighting, I don't know.
Yeah.
Street thugs.
I wish James was here. I would be if I was playing the video game, I would be James.
James
he's got a cool hat.
Yeah.
Like, he's got good colors.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be the best... The best character on a video game.
Well, and like every, like your instruments would be your weapon in my version of your video game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. there's different like abilities with the drums than you get with the bass and all that
so
kind of
So what would
stuff,
you have
so.
With the drums? Like a sound attack and like a ranged attack with throwing cymbals?
The drums seem like they would be the coolest one, but in this video game, it's actually just the drumsticks.
Drum
so
sticks.
It's actually one of the worst. It was bad game design, but
That's
it's
what
one
I was
of the
thinking.
Worst characters to play as. So
okay.
But what if they were chained together?
Yeah, nunchucks.
Nunchucky.
Drum chucks. Thank you.
Okay.
There it is.
That'd be pretty cool.
This is why we spitball. There are no bad ideas here.
Kobe does play heavy sticks, too. You wouldn't want to. I wouldn't mess with him.
I imagine you can pick up like a little like glowing tab in the course of the game that allows you to throw cymbals for, you know, 15 seconds or something like that.
In fact, did you break your finger?
I broke my finger, yeah.
With your drumstick?
Yeah.
Basically.
While playing?
You know.
Were you playing jazz style and you just...
I was playing aggressive jazz. Aggressive punk jazz.
Aggressive punk jazz. Finger broken. And then we went on tour the next day. And he played, he played every night and never mentioned it once.
You just gutted it out, huh?
I broke the shit out of my finger, yeah.
So, you know, you don't wanna, like in a video game, you don't want to mess with him either.
Yeah, he's definitely a tough character. Yeah,
he's a tough character.
His health bar is like green and everybody else is red.
The bass is pretty good. The bass is a pretty strong weapon, but you can only kind of thrust with it. It's got a long neck. It's a jazz style bass, mm-hmm. So it really you know sticks out.
It's more of a
guitar's like kind of right down the middle. It's an effective weapon. No real strengths. No real weaknesses. It's exactly what you know what you're getting.
It could
you
shoot.
Know what you're getting at a guitar.
You could do like the guitar shoots like electronic notes or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Sound wave lasers. Attack.
Sound waves.
I picture
that might
looking,
be overplayed.
I mean,
but
it's an axe, so I picture mm-hmm. it being kind of like chop style. The axe would be pretty good.
Well, you got the special button, so you can have two.
That's right. If it's like a Super Nintendo game, we've got like four extra buttons to ramp things up.
And I picture the like the singer like microphone just being like a ball and a chain that somebody spins around.
Yeah, I was thinking that
like
too.
A small ball.
You read my mind, Andy.
Or, well, you can get, yeah, that's, that can be like the special. And then the other one can be where like you do the combo and like the whole screen goes dark and then like it kills all the enemies and then like a little like melody plays for like 5 seconds and then you go back.
Ave Maria.
It plays Ave Maria.
Amazing Grace. I don't know. What is it? Kumbaya.
This game just writes itself.
Well, I'm just going off of the X-Men arcade game. With different whatever. I could go on all night.
Can we get back to 311?
Yeah.
People are going to think we're fucking nerds.
Well, I've painted you guys into a corner. This is bad interviewing is what it is. It's really an awful job by me. We're going to cut this up and put it all in different orders. So it's gonna
hell no,
weird.
Include it all.
It's gonna be all there.
We have no shame.
Warts and all. Andy, is there something else you wanted to play for us this evening?
Yeah, I'm going
to
play you a song. It's a punk song by a band from the Bay Area from 1977 by a band called Mary Monday and the Bitches. This song called Pop Gun. It's the B-side to their song, I Gave Ricky My Punk Rock Jacket.
Oh.
This song is really good.
All right, we'll see.
It's like the only thing that this band ever got like recorded besides
1977,
like,
huh?
Some other shit that's like really random. So, yeah. The song's called Pop Gun.
You guys remember Jack Kevorkian and the Suicide Machines? That's
the
what that
punk
band,
band
was originally called.
Oh, yeah.
That was the name of their band originally, huh?
Yeah, they had a 7-inch, and I think they may have been sued about it.
They're from Detroit, I think. Aren't they a Detroit band, Andy?
That would make sense if they were called Jack Kevorkian and the Death Machines.
Yeah.
And Suicide Machines.
That first Suicide Machines record, I think it's called Destruction by Definition. That was in heavy rotation when I was in like a freshman in high school. Love that album. It's a good one. You guys remember what you were listening to in high school?
So many things. Yeah, high school.
I think I started high school listening to the Specials. Or maybe that was pre-high school.
Yeah, the Specials, actually, that was another one that could have gone into, like, the early, like, favorite band.
Oh, man, you guys have like ska histories?
You guys have but Specials are, like, kind of...
It's
that comes up more than you'd think on this
like
show.
Like, the More Specials album, the second album. I mean, they're all... I love all their music, but, like, that album is insane. Like, it's weird. It's a weird record. It's definitely worth like taking a peek at again at some point if you've never heard it, it's worth listening to. It's like very, I think they described it maybe as like Muzak, which is kind of weirdly true, or it has elements of just a lot of keyboards and a lot of like odd.
I don't think I've ever heard the Specials. Are they like quintessential ska? Is that not their sound?
They're English ska.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's very I don't know. It's good. It's really good. They're classic ska. A lot of stuff that you hear in other people's stuff is referencing them.
Interesting.
Like, and they were definitely Rudy referencing, like they covered a lot of people. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. But More Specials, less so. Like that's just like kind of a strange record. It's worth checking out. Yeah.
Interesting.
All their stuff's worth checking out. They're a great band. I think they're really good.
Do you guys have any relationship with hip hop music? Any of you guys big hip hop fans at all?
Way less. For me. I don't know about, I can't speak for everybody.
Yeah.
I do appreciate hip hop, like as far as like I've seen some shows live and it's like the, especially live, it's like the power of it is like actually very similar to me to punk music. It's like, very powerful. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like it sweeps you like right up, right in there.
I think there's a lot of overlap in kind of the performative quality of it too. Just the energy that those two kind of genres bring to the stage, I think, is very analogous too. So I always see a lot more. In my mind, I grew up listening to punk rock music and hip hop. Those things were like right next to each other in my library. So I always kind of conflate them, and I think there's a lot of crossover there. Seth and Colby, did you guys ever listen to any rap music or anything like that? Has that had any impact on you as a songwriters at all?
I wouldn't say it had too much of an impact as a songwriter, but I mean, I've listened to Bone Thugs and Harmony and Tribe Called Quest and
Bone Thugs. That's my
and
jam.
Tupac a little bit, but I guess I wouldn't say that a lot of it really influenced it. I mean, it influenced me in different ways, but musically, I kind of didn't really get all that music. I mean, actually, you know what? That's totally false, because if you sit me down at a drum set, I'll totally play, like beat driven, like sounds of like 808 and 909 drums all day long. If I'm just sitting down at a drum set, that's what I'll just sit down and play.
You'll just crank out some beats.
Yeah. I would make an excellent, I think I'd make a really good soul or R&B drummer.
Thanks.
I mean, if I really harnessed that and focused on it.
You guys,
it's really great that you brought that up, because I've never really broken that down.
Yeah, started songs with beats.
Oh shit. You should start a hip hop
crew.
So
that's also true.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I've never even really considered that, but yeah, I really do play like drum beats like that really casually. Just if I sit down at a drum kit, I start playing things that are reminiscent of
interesting.
That.
Are there any other like outside the, I mean, but rock is such a wide spectrum of things. And so obviously you guys are pulling from a ton of different areas and it all kind of falls under that umbrella. Is there anything like that you love to listen to that's way outside the realm of what you guys play? Anything that's like a favorite of yours or a genre that you kind of come to that is beyond the scope of influence? It's just something you enjoy kind of independent of anything you create.
I don't think it can be independent. I think everything gets thrown in.
Even Zydeco.
What's that?
Even Zydeco.
I don't listen to a lot of Zydeco. I've heard stuff that I liked, but I couldn't like tell you an artist's name. But I mean,
if you come to something, obviously it's part of you in some way. It's an extension of something that you respond to.
Right. I think it's like the whole idea is like try to find a common ground and like some way of like relating to that. So I mean that's in there. Like Fats Waller, like I was talking about that artist earlier today. He's like a jazz player from, like he played from the I think the late 20s to like maybe into the 40s. So good.
Yeah.
So good. So that's like that's a lot of humor, music, a lot of characters, all these voices, and like this, like, you know, Nina Simone. I mean, undeniable. Like Nina Simone is like maybe one of my favorite artists like of all time. Like she's incredible.
What is what's an artist that you respect more than you enjoy?
Respect.
For me, it's.
I feel like I have one, and I'm like.
I'm. Oh. Oh yeah. I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say.
I was gonna say REM.
I'm gonna. No, not REM. We had a good conversation about REM before we got here.
Oh man.
But should've I'm going to say. Sting. Because I've never
enjoyed a single song that he's ever written.
I've never really enjoyed anything that he does, but I really enjoy what he's doing.
You mean
I'm just kidding. No, I'll say. I actually, you go first.
Well, I don't know.
That was a Zoolander one reference, by the way.
I got one.
Almost to flip it over.
No, I got one. Okay, no, you first. I'm curious how you flip it over, and I'll. No, respect, but well, don't enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, you go ahead.
Ween.
Ween.
I know so many people that like Ween.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I love.
And Ween. Somebody, yeah, no, and everybody, you know. A lot of people I respect whose musical opinion I like respect and like enjoy, like they constantly show me good things and they're like, I love Ween. And Ween has been in my life from the time that I like entered into, you know, trying to find music. And I don't like Ween. I just don't. I don't know. It doesn't do it for me. And it's like, but I have to respect them at this point. Like I just do.
Just because there's so many people that like them. That
well, yeah, and it's challenged me to see something about music that I maybe the way I think of music. It's like they're doing something different than what I think of.
Some really good songs.
No, they have great songs. Yeah. That's not my. Yeah, that's not it.
Like when I'm
and surprised. That's why it's a challenge for me.
Yeah,
and so I respect that they like challenge me in that way, and like they do write some good songs.
Yeah.
It's not even that I hate their songs. It's like more like their like thing or whatever, you know.
Colby, didn't you party with them in Hawaii?
I did, yeah. Yeah. I took a trip to Hawaii and they came into my hostel and got some they didn't do it, but we all just kind of got some people kicked out of the hostel. Yeah, it was a fun time. Yeah, nice. Partied with Ween.
Partied with Ween
in Hawaii.
Old friends.
Well, I was like on, I took a trip to Hawaii with friends and one of the friends was a huge, mega, super fan of Ween. And, she somehow like befriended them at this concert and, they ended up coming back to our hostel and chatted and talked to like maybe 8 or 9 in the morning. And, when I came to the next day,
see, it sounds very douchey of Ween, not you.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what? Like when you get like 13 or 14 people in an apartment sized hostel,
I'm partly just razzing.
It gets a little loud. Yeah. Yeah.
Ween being Ween.
Yeah, yeah.
As they say.
Me, I'm at the play that, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate against Ween, of course. I've already set that up.
Partying with Ween in Hawaii sounds like something that would be like a Nickelodeon postcard mail-in contest or something like that.
Yeah,
where you just
go.
Write your name and address
why
on,
Nickelodeon?
You know.
Well, I think the cool thing about this experience was I didn't really have too much interest in, like, Ween at the time didn't really know who they were. And so for them, it was just a party with people who didn't really know who they were. And
probably they, nice.
Yeah. It was kind of maybe a little relaxing.
Yeah, man. I've always liked Ween. And lately, they've become kind of like cult heroes because they don't really play shows very often. And they just played a show in Colorado and had some friends fly out there to go see it. Because they're just like, fuck, we might not get a chance to see Ween again. This might be the end. And I forget their names, but the dude, Gene Ween, his real name, he's got a
Gene and Ween and Gene and Dean
under his real name.
Yeah.
I think it's Aaron White or something. I forget.
There's a video of them on YouTube when they were like kids, like teenagers, and it's just the two brothers performing a song, and it's awesome.
Are they Teen Ween?
Teen Ween.
Pre-teen Ween.
Gene and Dean, Teen Ween.
Teen Ween.
Teen Gene and Teen Dean.
But
Teen and Gene.
As Ween.
It all sounds the same.
You're just listening for the consonants at the beginning.
I think maybe mine is.
Very important.
I think mine is R.E.M.
Yeah.
Because I grew up.
What was the thesis statement of the argument about R.E.M.?
No.
Or the discussion? I'm just curious what like the overall argument about
truth. Just
wait, what?
No. You were talking about REM being this band for you, and it seemed like you were building to something that they were anticipating. So I was just kind of curious what that was.
Well, I wouldn't even say that I don't respect them for anything, but like I've listened to so much of their music, and I don't know. There's certainly like songs on the record that I love so much, but like overall, I mean, and I'm just one person. I mean, they have thousands of millions of.
Did you try to like them? Like, did you try to?
For instance, Andy looks like he wants to punch you in the face right now.
I'm gonna kill you. I hate R.E.M. so much.
I think that I agree with you. I think
I
like R.E.M. more in principle than practice.
I listened to R.E.M. up till about Monster, mm-hmm. and then I stopped listening to them.
No, Monster's a pretty good record.
We were listening to R.E.M. on the way here.
I've listened
and we
to
listened to some songs off of Monster.
Everything of theirs, and I'm familiar with all of it. And I think I've just gotten to a point in life where when you just realize what you like and dislike.
Mm-hmm.
I just find them at a middle ground. Like, I love so many parts of their music, and there's so many other parts that I just completely don't. I mean, it's not that I completely dislike it, but I just don't feel like listening to it ever, really.
For me, they're a little bit analogous to like how I feel about Tom Petty. Tom Petty's one of these people that
I hate Tom Petty so much.
Yeah, I think a lot of people hate Tom Petty. I think he's kind of polarizing, but for me, he's just like right down the middle. Just like he would be in there, Mellencamp would be in there, REM would be in there. That for me is just this right down the center. And I don't know, it moves me in no direction at all. I have no feeling for that kind of music, not either bad or good. So
I like Tom Petty quite a bit and Mellencamp.
I love all that stuff.
But yeah, I think everybody just has these huge iconic like groups or musicians that just doesn't move them. But yeah. You know what? I love REM. I just brought that up because
you've come full circle.
What?
I mean, I just like the songs
come
that
think
I
of it,
really
I love
really like. Are amazing to me.
Yeah. What was the was it the Green Album? Was that the name of like their Green. Yeah. I don't know. Radio Free Europe is a great song. I love that song.
Yeah, it's all right.
There's some early REM that I like quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's. I mean, but that's what.
I like Orange Crush.
Sure.
Orange Crush is all right.
Yeah, everybody. I don't know. Everybody song. Just has these bands that like. It's just 50-50, or like 60-40, or 30 70.
There's just so many percentages and so many bands. It's like it's confusing when you have to try to like match them
up.
You know?
But really, to answer that question, I guess it's hard for me to lose respect for people unless I know them directly. Or
what you need to do is party in Hawaii with Michael Stipe.
All right. You gave me something to work towards.
Well, you guys wanted to play another Portland artist that you guys are fond of. What was something else you guys wanted to share tonight?
Blowout was the band's name.
So that was Tiny Boots by Portland's own Blowout. That was amazing. The music's been great tonight, Andy. And I just understand we're going to go out on a listener recommendation tonight.
Yeah, we got to give a shout out to a super fan, Eric Nowy. By the time he catches up on this one, he will have listened to every single podcast we've ever done.
Whoa. That's Eric, thank
you. And been on the show.
Very so sweet of you.
Really pulled it off.
Guest and enthusiast. I appreciate it. But Divers, thanks for being on the show tonight. We really appreciate you guys coming out, hanging out with us in the garage, and sharing some awesome music. You guys are going to be hitting Japan, what, in a month? Somewhere
just,
about
just
that?
Just over, about 2 months.
About 2 months from now. That's awesome. Good luck out there. That's going to be an amazing experience.
Thank you.
And anyone out there, check them out on Bandcamp. The first album, Hello Hello, is amazing. You can listen to that streaming through Bandcamp. And you guys will be doing a 7-inch release sometime in the near future, correct? Awesome.
Yeah, real
soon. We'll let our listeners know about that so they can check you guys out. Thanks again, Divers. We really appreciate you guys being on the show.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening to Hot Garbage. If you like what you heard, please tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes etc. You can also write the show, as our friend Eric Nowy did, to recommend a song we should play, a band we should have on, or just to voice your opinion, positive or negative. We really appreciate it. You can find us at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E, garbagepodcast@gmail.com. We're going out with an Eric Nowy recommendation, Andy. What's the song?
The song is called STD Fury by Sex Ed.
Awesome. For Divers, for Andy, for Nate, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage. Thanks a lot.
Ring, ring.
What up, V?
Hey, Muff Dive. You getting me last night? I got something. First he kissed me, then he dissed me. This morning I woke up with a motherfucking STD. Fuck no. Oh, Sir Vixen here. Trying to get the chicks fixed up in here. Who wanna lick a dick that's clean and clear? Holler at a lady who's smart and weird. From now on, there's no more secrets. Ain't gonna let no liar beat this. You might call me a gonorrhealist. Honesty is not a weakness. Now I bet you're wondering what she got beneath that skirt. I bet she got an STD. I wonder if it hurt. Well, I just got my pap smear, and I don't got no clap here. But if I did, I'd let you know it before I let you blow it. What's your symptom, and who'd you get that itch from? Let's talk about it. Herpes, AIDS, let's talk about it. Crabs, scabies, syphilis, rabies, crazy, shippy. All your ladies, don't be shy, be unabashed. Go ahead and ask, what's up with that rash? You got an STD, and now it's stressing me. Can I ask you a question, please? What's going on underneath them jeans? Not trying to be mean, just gotta make sure that you're clean. Cause if you want me on your team, first you gotta show me honesty.
H to the E to the P type B. Chiss long term, better tell wifey. Lips blowing up just like hyphy. In fact, looking back, it's more than likely that you gave me herpes on purpose. You gave me the herp on purpose. Yeah, motherfucker, you could say I'm nervous. Pulling my hair when I gave you service. K to the motherfucking R to the motherfucking U to the E to the L.
That's cool.
If you wanna get with me, that's cool. But first I gotta know that I'm no fool. So raise your hand if you got the clap. And smack your man if he raised it. Snap. Who me? Not physically. But I got mad sympathy.
I wanna fuck tonight. But first I gotta see if it looks alright. Pull off your belt, unzip your pants. Looking good, let's make romance.
But you need some professional information. Cause it might not be the time of the inflammation. So come on now, don't be ashamed to drop your pants for somebody who's trained. So if you got the clap, I don't hate you, boy, but you need to step back. Getting cleared up's easy, just do it now so we can get sleazy. Diseases from Venus, apply 3 times daily to your penis. And if you want to stay with your wangus, or give me fun a langus, go check yourself, protect yourself, make sure you got a clean bill of health. You know I'm feeling nasty, but don't try to put one past me. Your anaconda won't get none unless you got a condom. Then we can live large, put one on and I'll drop discharge.
I'm repping B more, but I don't like crabs that much.
I don't drive without my glasses, and you better wear a condom when you tap the sasses.
To the ladies who got scabies, to the fellas who don't tell us.
Let's talk about it. Herpes, AIDS, let's talk about it. Crabs, scabies, syphilis, rabies, crazy.
Those girls be pissed when you're walking around like a syphilanthropist.
No secrets.